On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning. And yes, Mary, your haste was in vain, although no doubt well-intentioned, but your Creator has already arisen. And so she, like all of us sons and daughters of Adam, had failed to see what God had revealed through the first prophet Moses in the book of Genesis. For it is very clear from those words of Moses that in the original creation, man was given stewardship over God's creation, and ultimately, stewardship is an entrusting with the care of a great mystery. That mystery, we know from Holy Mother Church, would be the incarnation of God. That in the first decree of creation, God had ordained that Christ was the firstborn of all creation. That is, he had absolute primacy over it, and Adam and Eve, for a time, would be tried to see if they were worthy of that mystery. We see this very clearly on the final day of creation before God rests, when he tells our first parents, increase and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. That is, keep it beautiful, for that Creator will come into this world. And so, while the fullness of that mystery was not revealed to them, they had only one thing to do, to obey the will of God as it was revealed to them. And we know full well that the whole of creation would come tumbling down with the fall of our first parents into sin. And so they failed to understand that which they understood at one time so well. For indeed, we learn from Moses that on the first day of creation, God separated the light from the darkness. Spiritually, those good angels who followed him, and the darkness was Satan and those who fell. In the physical order, God separated light from the darkness in order to indicate one day that the light of the world would come into the world. And so, our first parents would become blinded by the darkness, and there would be no hope on the natural level for mankind. And indeed, they would see very shortly the effects of their sin. For Cain, the firstborn son of Adam, would be the first to shed blood, and Abel, the secondborn son, would be the first victim of sin. And even in that, this great mystery is revealed to us. For Cain, being the firstborn son of Adam, signifies all those born in the state of original sin. Abel, being secondborn, but in priority, a greater lover of God, for his offering, as Scripture tells us, was pleasing, signifies Christ, the new Adam. And so, in that sense, Abel, even though he too was conceived in original sin, is an innocent victim. And so, the first to taste death would be an innocent victim, and in that we see Christ symbolized. For it says very clearly that the Lord had respect for Abel and his offerings, and that is an allusion to that great mystery that we have just come through, the mystery of that offering of the new Adam, Christ, to the Father, in which the Father would find pleasing. For all the offerings of the sons of Adam and the sons of Cain would not be pleasing. And so our Lord, in telling Cain, tells us all, if thou do well, shall you not receive, but if you do ill, shall not sin be present at your door. And so eons would pass, and sin would always be present at the door of mankind. Abel had already tasted that death that was a forerunner, a slight shadow of the death that would deliver mankind. And yet, this whole mystery, and the reason why Easter is called the Feast of Feasts and the Solemnities of Solemnities, is to indicate that while Christmas begins this mystery, for on Christmas man would be given the Paschal mystery, the sacrifice that would be for the salvation of the world, but it would culminate in the actual sacrifice. This is precisely why our Lord constantly taught in his public ministry and to the apostles, for this I have come into the world, that is, to deliver himself up in order that all of creation may be reclaimed. And so there is a great icon that depicts so well this mystery of Christ. for it shows Christ rising from the dead, and upon his rising, the tombstone falls on the head of Satan and all his minions, and they lie crushed under the stone that was rolled, while our Lord leads triumphantly out of the limbo of the just Adam and Eve, Abel and Noah, Abraham and Sarah, and all those faithful patriarchs and prophets and people of old. He leads them triumphantly from the limbo of the just to the glory of heaven, and that is ultimately what this mystery is all about, because Christ is the conqueror who destroys death, and death is the child of sin. And so all of creation was capitulated in the sin of Adam, and that stewardship by which he was to preserve that beauty that was symbolic of the one who was to come would be lost and destroyed under the influence of Satan and of sinful mankind. And so our Lord came very clearly in order to restore all of creation, and his suffering and agony is past now, and now we bask in his glory, that glory that was from the beginning that he had and shared with the Father. And so it is a great mystery, and it is a mystery that all are called to accept. For if we die with Christ, we will also rise with him, and that is the great mystery of the Easter season and the Easter mystery. The first day of creation was ennobled by the Creator with the gift of light. It now receives a second consecration as all of creation is lifted up by the light of the resurrection, and the eternal day has truly dawned. But in the Victime Paschale, we have in the Easter liturgy a somber note, so that we are always reminded that the resurrection comes after the crucifixion, and it is the lot of all Christians, if they truly wish to restore the sacred order to the order of creation, that they must travel by the way of Calvary, because the royal king first traveled that way, and he wishes to show us all that it is the way that all who love him must travel. And ultimately, our Lord expresses to us that which he first expressed in the incarnation. For in the incarnation, Christ does one thing. He, according to many of the doctors and fathers, consecrates himself to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as one of the saints would point out, his filial love for the mother was impatient. And so, early on the third day, his longing for his most dear and afflicted mother is satisfied. And so, we see very clearly why the Magdalene finds not the Christ, for she comes too late. So seek him, Mary and Peter, James and John, not in the tomb, but in the heart of the mother. And that is the first lesson Christ teaches on Christmas, and it is the final lesson he teaches on the day of his resurrection, that filial devotion to the mother is the key to our salvation. And so we must constantly turn to him so that we truly see the divine order and the all of creation. Many times the church in this mystery is attacked, for we are told very clearly from the modern world that ultimately we celebrate this grace feast on a Sunday because we have borrowed it. That is, we have imitated the pagans of old who worshipped the sun, and indeed, they will even go so far as to blaspheme the ultimate mystery of our faith, the Eucharistic presence of our Lord, declaring that the sacred host is in the form of a circle in order to indicate the pagan sun worship on which they believe creation was born. And so, this mystery refutes it all. For indeed we learn in his original creation, Adam was so united to God that he too, in some sense, understood the essence of God's creation. And so he was able to name the beasts of the forest, the birds and the flowers and the trees, and in some way caught the essence of God. Doesn't it seem logical that Adam would have named Sunday, Sunday, because it was the day in which light was first created, and so he understood that mystery, and then, under the influence of original sin and our personal sin, that mystery understood so well by Adam in his original creation was perverted and destroyed. And so we see very clearly, as many of the saints would point out, that our faith is not based on pagan mythology and pagan lineage. It is based on the mystery of creation itself, that mystery by which we, as children of Adam, were called to exercise stewardship over the whole of creation. Ultimately, that stewardship is exercised when we do what? When we do what the Lord did, hold up the mother as the ideal and exemplar of all that we are striving for, turn to her who alone can teach us how to order all things well, most especially our moral life. And in ordering our moral life, we will use God's creation to always and everywhere leave an expression of that which we believe. For many of the saints, and indeed Pope Benedict, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, pointed out, every Christian must depart from this world accomplishing something that indicates to the world what he believes of the incarnation. And so, some beauty must be left both in the moral and in the physical order to indicate this mystery is truly present in our minds, in our hearts, and that no matter how great the beauty of Christendom is, it is a pale reflection of the beauty to come. Indeed, the Sursum Corda is the lifting up of the heart to indicate that which will come prior. Indeed, in the construction of our churches, stained glass windows are designed to keep the world out so that when all come in, their minds and their hearts are lifted up to that home to which God has called them, that home that in his resurrection he has established firmly. Satan, you have no more sway. Death, you have no more victory. Magdalene, Peter, James, and John, all of us, we are too late for the mystery, but she, who was from the beginning created to be the mother of God, knows the mystery, and it is to her that we must turn because, as Scripture tells us, she kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And if we do so, then we will come to know that mystery, that death truly has no more victory, death truly has no more sting. For the mother and the child have overcome and destroyed, laid it waste. And so, if we too strive to overcome our sinfulness and to express our love of this mystery, we'll come to know him as all men are called to know him for all eternity in heaven. And so, let us strive always and everywhere to outdo the enemies of Christ and ultimately Satan by leaving an expression of that mystery that burns bright in our heart. For everything accomplished by a Christian out of love of God has an eternal value, and it gives an eternal sign. Indeed, we may lament many of those marks of Christendom that have been destroyed by the infidels and the enemies, but it is the very fact that we keep them in our heart that indicates that we know they express something so marvelous and something so beyond our comprehension that even the first vicar of Christ did not fully understand it. But St. John at that moment did. And so let us strive always to be like them all who eventually came to know and to understand this mystery. For St. Peter would immediately, when he was strengthened, that is, when he learned to remain in the presence of the mother on the first Pentecost, go out and triumphantly declare to the whole world that this Christ whom you crucified has risen from the dead. And when St. Peter said those words, he had no reason to expect he would have survived that day. But God was his protector, and it was not the time for the vicar of Christ, the first vicar, to part from this world. That would be accomplished when he would establish the See of Christ in the eternal city, Rome, until the end of time, so that that mystery may be promulgated from there to the whole world. And so, let us always and everywhere be thankful for this mystery as we somberly go through this life, knowing that if we accomplish what the Lord has set out for us, we will one day reign with him, with all those angels who remained in the light, and then we will have nothing to do with those who dwelt in the darkness. For as Scripture says, Christ has declared an infinite divide between the children of light and the children of darkness, let us strive simply to give that witness so that we may remain in the light and all those who dwell in the darkness may come from the darkness, no longer retreating. For it is very significant that our Lord rises from the tomb, for most of the world had descended into the caves, and most pagan rituals were performed in the darkness of the cave. It is as if mankind was running from the love of God the Father, and so it was from the cave of his tomb that the light would rise and lead men out of the darkness and into the light. And that is what God has created us for, to dwell always and eternally in his light. And so let us strive through this life, as we know the darkness of Calvary is upon all of us, and it is ultimately that where we are being led, because it is ultimately that place where the mother led the son. And so let us strive to follow that example that our mother gives us. Do whatever he tells you, and the first thing he tells us in the incarnation and the last thing he tells us in the resurrection is go to his mother, stay close to her, and victory will be ours as victory was his.
Et Jesus.